Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Our text will begin at verse number 10, and we'll begin to look at the virtuous woman tonight. And I think I can safely say that the content of this chapter is something that's greatly needed in our society today. You know, when you look at media outlets, you know, whether they be news or otherwise, things in regards to pop culture, we're inundated, you know, with the carnal aspects of the world. Women focus on outward appearance to the neglect of true and genuine virtue. And that's a shame. And that's precisely why this chapter needs to be taught to young and the old alike. But let's begin reading in verse number 10. We'll not read to the end of the chapter, but the entire rest of the chapter does speak to that of the virtuous woman. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy." And let's pray. Lord, bless as we look at this chapter tonight. Lord, I do believe that it's vitally important that the truths of this chapter be taught in our churches and in our homes. For Lord, too often society focuses on that which is vanity. And I pray, God, that here tonight we'd focus on that which is most important, which is the character and the virtue of a woman. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, as we began looking at the first few verses of the chapter last week, we saw that this chapter, at least in part, maybe not the whole, but at least the first 9 verses, includes a godly woman's instruction to her son. And the son's name is what is given, which is King Lemuel. And so in the first part of the chapter, we have a godly woman giving godly advice. And that advice was to avoid strange women because it distracts from kingly duties, and strong drink because it distorts righteous judgment. But we also saw that it instructs the son to speak up for the less fortunate because they do not have a voice due to their poverty or their particular social status. So this was the advice that King Lemuel's mother gave him. And I don't believe it's an accident that this section on the virtuous woman is given after that advice. It's probably most likely due to the fact that King Lemuel's mother herself was a virtuous woman. And I've said this before, but it needs to be repeated often, but if the virtuous woman, by and large part the church and Bible-believing people, is not lifted up and praised, and we continue to instead exalt the sensual woman or the strange woman as Hollywood does and as the world does, it will be no wonder that the virtuous woman ceases to exist. We need to exalt the virtuous woman as an example as to what every woman should follow after. Literally, the word virtuous means strong, honorable, good, and upright. But if you truly want to know what it means to be a virtuous woman, you only need to examine the content of verse 10 through verse 31. Because these are the characteristics of a virtuous woman. Notice the question that's asked in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? I know it's a rhetorical question and there really isn't an answer to be expected, but what if you were to contemplate the question and were to try to come up with an answer? Would you be able to give an answer? Can you find a virtuous woman? Could you speak the name of someone that all of us would agree is a virtuous woman? And maybe before you answer, you should take the time to consider the entire content of this chapter. Because again, it is the standard for a virtuous woman. But you see, again, no answer really is expected. It's a rhetorical question, and it incites the answer that, you know what, it's very difficult, it's very hard in society, always has been, to find a virtuous woman. It's hard today, but you know what, folks? The fact that the question was asked here demonstrates that it was hard thousands of years ago as well. The heart of man, and when I use the word man, I mean mankind, so that would include women, the heart of man has not changed. Human nature has not changed. There may be more avenues for men to carry out his carnal desires today, but men have always been wicked. Mankind has always been wicked. And therefore it's been very difficult to find a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? She's rare. Just know that's what that first sentence speaks to. She's very rare. She's not common. We can't just throw out the names of all of our mothers and all of our grandmothers and assume that all of them are virtuous women. If that's the case, then it seems as though they wouldn't be quite as rare as our text indicates. No, a virtuous woman is a rarity. But notice, due to this, she's also highly valuable. For her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. You know, rubies are valuable commodities, aren't they? And do you know why rubies are valuable commodities? You know why they cost a lot? Someone might think it's due to their beauty. And there's no doubt that rubies, that precious stones, are beautiful to look upon. We wouldn't use them as jewelry if that were not the case. But you know, there's more to the value of a ruby than the fact that it's beautiful. You know, when you look at some rocks. You ever cracked certain rocks open and looked at them on the inside? Some of them are quite beautiful. They have the colors of the rainbow and more. I recall one of the things I remember vividly about a place that we lived in Missouri. It was called Flat River, Missouri back then, in River Mines. I think they combined the cities and now they're just called Park Hills. But it's down in southern Missouri. Just an old mining town, still go down there occasionally because they have a state park that allows ATVs and motorcycles. But I remember that house. We lived in a great big old house there. I mean, it was huge, huge rooms. People used to say it was a nursing home, and I don't know, you'd think that because it had one big hallway and then it just had bedrooms off on each side. And the living room, of course, maybe I remember it bigger than what it really is, but you know, as a kid, it just had this tremendously huge living room. You know, we had our couch and TV and everything just off in one corner of it. It had a den. It kind of had sliding doors on one end and the big porch we used to play wiffle ball on. But one of the unique things about that particular house was all the rocks that were there. Because we must have bought it from some old guy who was a rock collector. I didn't know that rocks were so colorful and so beautiful, but he had all these rocks. And many of them on the outside, you know, they sparkled and they were shiny. But even on the inside, they were. But you know, those rocks, they weren't worth anything. And it's because you could probably, if you looked just slightly hard enough, you could find them everywhere. And so you see that a virtuous woman is not just valuable because of her beauty. Matter of fact, that probably has very little to do with it. Probably has nothing to do with it. She's valuable because of how rare she is. You know, gold dust looks like gold, doesn't it? That's why they call it fool's gold. Looks the same, but it's not the same. And again, you look long enough, you'll find it everywhere. And so it's of no value. But a virtuous woman is both rare, and because she's rare, she's very valuable. But notice more of her character in verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, one of the things I attempted to do as I would read through this passage is to think about the overall character of the woman. Not so much as, you know, pick out the specifics, and I've done that at different times and did a little bit of that in preparation for this message, but I try to just get the overall tone of what is a virtuous woman. What does she focus on? And you know what? If you read through this chapter enough times, you know you'll see that she gives almost all of her energies, all of her attention to her family, to her husband and children. And folks, that's consistent with what the rest of the Bible teaches. You know, when we turn to the pages of the New Testament and we read about the role of a woman, she's supposed to reverence her husband. She's supposed to submit to her husband as unto Christ. She's supposed to love her husband, obey her husband. These are all things that are taught in the New Testament. And both in the book of Proverbs and in the New Testament, we read how she's to be the guider of the house. She guides the children. She gives and focuses her energies, her efforts, towards her husband and children. That's her duty. That's her responsibility. And there's no greater responsibility for a woman than that. And so notice, here in this first verse that really outlines her character, it says that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. You know, one of the marks of a virtuous woman is her husband has no concerns about her being faithful and good to him. He's so content with her that he has no need of spoil. And you know what the spoil is, right? That's what you would take after you won a battle. You would take all of your enemy's belongings. It was the spoil. It was like little extras that you got. Their boots, their swords, their tents, their clothes. But boy, a man that's married to a virtuous woman, he says, in essence, I have everything I need. I'm satisfied alone with the wife that God has given me. I'm sure all of you have read things about how the morals of Americans are changing. And because of that, there's a huge increase in infidelity. But you know what? God's word has not changed. And not only is premarital sex still wrong, but so is infidelity inside of marriage wrong. And a woman who's virtuous, she's not guilty of either. I know we sometimes think that it's men alone that have a problem with infidelity and lust. And no doubt, the problem is much greater with men because of the way that God made them. He made them to lead, to have dominion. But that does not mean it's not a problem of women. Otherwise, women would not post half-naked men, pictures of half-naked men on their locker rooms, in their locker rooms. Or they wouldn't be concerned about missing their favorite television program that has Mr. Sexy on it. No, a virtuous woman, she's rare. And she's faithful to her husband. I recall some time ago listening to a country song, and I didn't put in my notes here where, but I didn't even put the title of the song, but it was akin to Dolly Parton's "What a Heartache You Turned Out to Be." Most of you probably don't know that song, since it probably was sang in the 80s. But you can kind of pick up what the song was all about just with the title, "What a Heartache You Turned Out to Be." And I wrote down some things after listening to this song. I said, and this is what I said, and I said it in light of the fact that I'm married to my wife. I said, I'm glad I'll never experience the kind of heartache that's mentioned in the song. I'm glad I'll never feel loneliness during the evening quiet due to unfaithfulness. I'm glad I'll never feel betrayed. And some people might say to me, well, preacher, there's no guarantee of that. But I would say in response, yes, there is a guarantee. My heart, I understand the passage because of the woman that I'm married to. His heart does safely trust in her. I have complete confidence in my wife to remain faithful to me. And that's a quality of a virtuous woman. Let's move on. In verse 12 it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Again, do you notice the emphasis of the virtuous woman? It's on her husband. And I know, again, I've said this recently and I'll say it again, but so many seem to think that this is demeaning to women. How is this demeaning? This, it isn't if you believe the Bible. Because if you believe the Bible and you understand why God created you as a woman, you recognize that your first responsibility, if you're married beyond God, is to your husband. Is to be his helper, his support mechanism. And that's why it says what it says here about the virtuous woman. It focuses and concentrates first of all on her husband. How she behaves towards him, and how in turn he responds to her. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So again, judge what's said here. Judge women by what's said here. How many women would you find virtuous already? How many women do you know that speak nothing but good of their husband? And that do nothing but good towards their husband? Very few, right? It's fashionable to criticize husbands and men. And young ladies, that's almost a certain way to cause your marriage to end in failure. Because of all the things that a man needs, the most important thing he needs is your respect and your reverence and your support. And if he doesn't have that, maybe the marriage will survive, but he'll never be the kind of man that God would intend him to be. Not without your support. Verse 13, dealt with the husband, and to come back to that briefly later, but notice the next thing. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know the wool and the flax, what that's a reference to? She doesn't just go down, you know, to the market and buy the fabric and the thread. She makes it. She doesn't just go down to the Gap, you know, or the Levi Strauss store and buy the clothes. She makes them. And someone will say, well, there's just no need for that today. There isn't. I think it was a relatively sad day when the responsibility for making children's clothing was passed from mom to the perverted fashion designers in France and other places around the world. Seems to me there's a greater need today for women to make the clothing of their children. The older I get, the more I'm prone to join the Amish when I think about some of the things that they do. You know what? They make their own clothes. And boy, you can identify an Amish person immediately, can't you? Why can't people identify us immediately? As Christians, as Bible-believing Christians. I think they almost should sometimes. By the way, I was thinking this week too about how nobody ever hates on the Amish, do they? You know, like they do the fundamentalist Christians. Why don't they hate on the Amish? Well, in part it's because they don't view them as a threat. Maybe that's because they don't evangelize. But part of me said, you know what? Maybe it's in part due to their kind demeanor. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but we should be just as kind. But she seeketh wool and flax. She gets these things from the animal and from the plants. That's where she gets these things. She grows her own. Now you know why some women read this chapter and they say, well, nobody can live up to that. That's just silliness. You mean I got to support my husband 100%? And I got to go out and make my own thread and fabric? And I don't know that you have to go that far. But I'll tell you what. When I think of a virtuous woman, I think of a woman who's very resourceful. I think of a woman who is able to make and get the things that she needs at very little cost. It says in verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. You know, those merchant ships, they came from afar, and it says she bringeth her food from afar. Now, I looked that up. I don't know exactly what that means. I know that a lot of commentators talked about the ships coming from Tyre and Sidon and to these other cities, but I don't know what it means that the virtuous woman brings her food from afar. Maybe that so she knows how to cook exotic things. I'm not exactly sure. But here it has, here it is talking about her cooking. So it talks about her wifely duties. It talks about sewing. It talks about cooking. All those traditional things that we think of when we think of a pioneer woman. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Here she is cooking again. By the way, where is it that cooking takes place? In the home. And we'll see slightly that this woman does occasionally get outside of the house. But again, her primary responsibility belongs to her home, her family. She gets up at night if that's what's required, or gets up early in the morning if that's what's required to feed her maidens. Some might think this is her daughters, which it could be a reference to that, or the others in her home, servants or what have you. She's also resourceful, selling. Look at this in verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands and planteth a vineyard. Oh, now she's gardening. Cooking, sewing, gardening, supporting the husband. Notice it doesn't say anything about pampered chef parties, Tupperware parties, wine parties. Doesn't say anything about going to the galas, is that how you say that? Going to the big parties. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I mean, again, you read through this like I did, and you just try to get a general overview. What type of woman is it describing? You know what? It says nothing about tanning, nothing about makeup, nothing about the hairdresser or jewelry or designer clothing. It doesn't say anything about that. I mean, you read that verse, and you know what kind of image I conjure up? You know, she gets a rubber band, puts her hair up in it, grabs 2 5-gallon buckets to go out and feed the pigs. And you know, my grandmother, Grandma Bailey, she was a woman. But you know what? She could go out and slop the pigs, feed them their slop. And she would. Never saw her as a woman to focus on her outward appearance. Instead, she was always cooking, always cleaning, sometimes cleaning chickens. That is, butchering them. And that's the kind of woman I think of when I read Proverbs chapter 31. She worked from sun up to sundown. Matter of fact, I can only recall seeing her in one place, and that's the kitchen. That's where she lived. She's not a weakling, not a little twiggy. She's not like the hand model that couldn't do anything with her hands lest they somehow got marred. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. You know, I read what other people said about this passage too. And some referenced the fact that she'd stay up all night making her merchandise, her garments, because she knows that they're going to sell. She's confident. She's confident. And you know, I think there can be a difference between confidence and arrogancy. And I think it's ugly for a woman to be arrogant. But to be confident in the sense that she knows she has something to offer, that's not a bad thing. I think a lot of men find that kind of attitude attractive. I think husbands find that attractive, that they have a wife who recognizes she has something to offer. She has something to offer in the marriage, and she has something to offer her children, and she has something to offer in society. And so just realize that, you young ladies especially. Marriage is a mutual thing, and both the husband and the wife have something to offer one another. And what you have to offer is appreciated by the other. Verse 19, I'll just end here for tonight. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And again, I read some intricate explanations of this particular verse. But I think, in general, the understanding we're to come away with is that she works with her hands. Later on, it's going to say in the chapter that she eateth not the bread of idleness. And I think that's the understanding. I think that's the intent. That's what is meant. Because, you know, there are some people that have this vision or this idea, you know, that a homemaker, that a housewife, doesn't do anything but sit at home and watch the soap operas while she eats chocolates. But whoever says this about a virtuous woman couldn't be more mistaken. She cooks 3 meals a day, she packs her husband's lunch, dresses the kids, combs their hair, does the dishes, cleans the laundry, takes out the trash, instructs the children, greets the husband when he comes home, puts the band-aids on the kids. She's never idle. She always has something to do. So again, what do we see in these verses about the virtuous woman? Well, she's sewing, she's cooking, she's gardening, she's selling sometimes, and she's working hard. And we've only looked at half the chapter. The virtuous woman is quite a woman, isn't she? And she is a standard, and this chapter is a standard that every woman should look to and strive to mimic. Because as it's going to say towards the end of the chapter, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, the Bible says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And someone may perceive the role of women here to be somewhat lesser than that of the men. But I tell you what, if a woman faithfully fulfills her duties as a wife and a mother, she may just find herself at the judgment seat going to the front of the line. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the things that we can learn from it. Lord, what a wonderful chapter. A chapter where we can learn what a virtuous woman is, so that all of the ladies in our churches could seek to emulate these characteristics in their own lives. Lord, may you help the ladies of our church to all be virtuous. Those who are married, may they love and support their husbands. Lord, those that will be married one day, may they already understand what their responsibilities will be in the marriage towards you and towards their husband. And Lord, as a church, may we do our best to lift up not the strange woman, but the virtuous woman. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed for prayer.